R&R. You probably think of this abbreviation as rest and relaxation. Well, this is the new R&R. Roger and Rob, Kincaid and Breckenridge on News Talk 770.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Roger. That's Rob right there.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about the woman card here. Again, this is just like when we talked about breastfeeding last week, Rob. Two brave men, very well qualified to discuss this. Right. No, but you know what? This is what's interesting, right, is that Hillary Clinton was accused of playing the woman card.
Well, I guess, yeah. I mean, wasn't Alison Redford also accused of playing the woman card to deflect criticism?
Yeah, and remember we also talked about
that people were being mean to her as premier because she was a woman.
Right. But then she also played the mom card when she stood up and she said, but you know what, I'm also a mother, and
yeah.
People are very proud of that and stuff. So it was sort of like, I guess when it was happening, I thought to myself, of course there's a woman card, and there's probably a good way to play the woman card and a bad way to play the woman card. Similarly, the race card, right? Like, wasn't Obama just accused of playing the race card against Donald Trump? And who would deny that there is a race card? Like, that's something that we know is out there, right?
Well, when does it become a card? Is it when that person talks about it? I mean, should Hillary never mention her gender? I don't know. I don't know that she needs to go around pointing out to people that she's a woman. I mean, people realize that and understand the, you know, the historic aspect of having the first woman president, just as, you know, it was obvious with Barack Obama. I think so. Maybe that's where it becomes a card.
Well, to answer your question, it becomes a card when somebody photoshops it and shares it on Facebook.
Ah, okay.
Or maybe not. Let's bring our guest into this program, though, because she has done some thinking and writing about this very matter and discusses it a lot, too. Beate Shillette. Am I pronouncing your name correctly, by the way?
You did phenomenal. Thank you. Perfect.
Nice going. Well,
thanks very much. Thank you. I'm going to retire now. That's probably the best I can do. Beate, let's talk about this idea of a woman card, because, I mean, you're not coming on the radio with us today to deny that there is such a thing. In fact, I think your statement is more that everybody's got a card.
Exactly. You know, clearly you're playing the radio card right now. And, you know, so there's all kinds of cards. It's amazing to me on how, you know, this is being even pointed out. Well, of course, I'm a woman. I have a woman card. You're a man, you have a man card. You're black, you have an African-American card. You're Asian, you have an Asian card. We all have a card that levels the playing field. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, so I guess the question then is how do you use that card responsibly, right?
Exactly. Well, look, you know, women are acting like we are a minority. And while we are 51 to 52% of the population, we really are the majority. So I guess this whole card thing is intended to make us feel bad about being, you know, African-American, about being a woman, about being whatever. And that's just wrong. Everybody has a card.
All right. So what do you make then of how Hillary has used it?
Well, but see, this is the question that I'm so puzzled by. It's like, how has she used it? So, right. So there's a woman candidate for president, and she says, "I am the most qualified candidate to talk about women's issues." Well, who would agree with her? Is that really playing a card? Mm-hmm. So I think that sometimes we just have to ask ourselves a little bit more in detail, what does this really mean? Of course, she's the most qualified candidate to talk about women's issues. As she pointed out, she is a woman. So why are we even making a big deal about it?
Okay, I guess, I mean, no one ever says you played the woman card and it's like complimentary. Hey, way to play the woman card, right? It's always like, there you are making an argument that you're a victim in all of this. And if I argue against you, then I'm some bully.
Right, but is the card really, especially in Hillary's case, actually used to be a victim? I don't see anything about her that would suggest that she's a victim in any kind. To the very contrary, if she were to play the woman card, she plays the strongest woman card that there is out there right now, because she says a woman can do anything she puts her mind to, and she has access to secret proprietary information,
right,
that only can women know about women that I will be using. Well, what's wrong with that?
Right. I mean, I see, to me, the very statement, though, of saying, like, she's playing the woman card, or President Obama's playing the race card, is a way of framing an argument as being underhanded, as though there's no way that we can now engage beyond this point, when what could really be happening is the person who is a so-called playing the card is trying to point something out that we need to address.
Right, but see, isn't it really truly in the eye of the beholder, though, to look at this and say, I'm just saying it is a card. Like Trump makes everybody, you know, play a card because he has, you know, he's running out of arguments. So he has to accuse other people of doing certain things underhandedly because he can't argue the case. So I say that you're playing a card when I run out of arguments, because if I had good arguments, then I wouldn't need to do that, because then we could just have a discussion about it. So that's what's so wrong about this woman card thing, is we as women, you know, everybody's given a card by the pure nature of who we are. We attract people who believe in our message and who we naturally attract, who are drawn to us. Is that playing a card? You tell me. I don't think so.
Well, you write this week, and you give examples where you say the woman card should be waved wildly. What do you mean by that?
Well, I say that, you know, this is exactly to my point, that women really are the majority of the United States population. So we are somewhere between 51% to 52%. Women, by the pure nature, we somehow always feel like we're a minority because we have to fight for things that should be naturally ours. We should be entitled to 50% of everything. But yet, you know, we have only 2% of CEO positions. There's only 20% of political seats available to women. So if we continue to act that this is all there is, then of course we have to feel like we have to play all kinds of advantages. But, you know, the woman card in this particular case then would just say, look, we are the majority of the population. We are entitled to this, and we're just going to grab what's naturally supposed to be ours, 50%.
So playing the woman card then is a pursuit of parity.
Exactly. That is exactly what I'm saying. It's like if we play any card, then we play the card that says we are half of the population, we're entitled to half of what's out there, and we are going after that. That is the woman card, and that is, I think, what people are so scared of, or that's what the fearful part is. It's the rise of woman.
But surely there's a natural imparity when it comes to certain issues that are often described as women's issues.
Possibly, you know, but you know, what is the imparity? So is it that we by nature don't know about certain things? Well, as a woman, I don't know about a lot of the men's issues because by the pure nature of who I am, I cannot know about it. So the question, you know, again is, what do I confidently talk about, and that stuff that I know or stuff that I can learn? So you know, imparity, yes and no. The argument goes both ways.
Right.
Well, okay. So then getting back to the conversation around playing the woman's card, as you say, I mean, sometimes it's a distraction from real issues. Sometimes it needs to be played. Do we need to change the terminology?
That is, I think, a great way to start. Because when I say to a woman, you're playing the woman card, I'm saying this because I'm intending to make her feel bad. If I say to President Obama, you're playing the race card, I'm intending to make him feel bad. So it is when literally we run out of arguments and we just say, well, you're just using this. But the reality of it is it can't really be used if that is part of your genetic makeup of your DNA. So why don't we just embrace it as a viewpoint that somebody can bring to the table and say, you know what? The woman side of this is great. The African-American side of viewpoint of this is great. We need to stop judging each other and just add it to the conversation as a viewpoint. Isn't that so much more interesting?
Yeah, listen, I won't disagree with that. Can you explain a phenomenon to me? I get how men can be dismissive of women or be anti-woman. Which is not to say that all of them are. But what's peculiar to me that I find with some women is that they start from like this default position of disliking somebody just for what they are. So there are women out there who hate Hillary, for example, but with no cause.
Absolutely. And this is really part of what I'm addressing in the Women's Code and what I write about in my book, Happy Woman, Happy World, is that we have to stop taking other women down. If we really want to get to true equality, to what I call a balanced leadership, then we need to embrace other women and their accomplishments. But, you know, as what I just said earlier, if we believe that only so little is ours, of course we have to be at each other's throat, because then we're fighting for whatever the 2% or the 20%. But if I believe that truly everything is available to me, then I don't have to do that. And this is the shift that the Women's Code is really hoping to bring to womankind, to say, girlfriend, you need to stop acting like that. There's enough for everybody.
Okay, well, regarding Hillary then specifically, how should female voters in the United States view Hillary? Do you think that at any level there's an obligation that they support a fellow woman?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, somebody says, well, should we look at a candidate because she's a woman, or does this make a difference? Well, in this particular instance, the argument doesn't even exist, because Hillary, I mean, hands down, is the most qualified presidential candidate America has ever seen. I mean, she's got 8 years in the White House. She's Secretary of State. She knows the political ins and outs. She's got the relationships. She's got foreign relationships. There's nobody else more qualified than her. So with that even out of the way, and then I look at her and I say, will I be part of history? Will I allow that a woman can rise all the way to the top? And I am all in. And yes, every woman should vote for Hillary, because we miss this. Who knows? It'll be another 10, 15 years before we have the opportunity again. This is a historic moment for women that we cannot let pass.
All right. Well, what about those women, though, who, like, should they be, is it a game of trades here? Is it a bargain? Are there women who must trade their certain ideological perspectives just in order to cast a ballot for a woman to be on that side of history, as you mentioned?
Well, that's really something that women have to reconcile within themselves. To me, the issue is very clear. I'm all for women empowerment. I want to tell my daughter that this is available to her. I want to have all daughters of all women understand that you can go all the way if that's what you choose to do for yourself. So, of course, I'm going to support women. I'm supporting all women in their pursuit, as long as they allow that they take other women with them.
Right. Does the conversation change, though, if it's Sarah Palin versus Bernie Sanders?
Absolutely. That's because Sarah Palin just unfortunately makes some very bad mistakes in the way she communicates and the way she comes across. But, you know, I've said it all along, even about Sarah Palin. You know, here's a woman that, you know, clearly was not qualified, but there was an opportunity that she was presented with, and she ran with it. And for that, and that alone, I appreciate and support her. Did she do it right? Did she make mistakes? Well, of course she made huge mistakes. But for the pure fact that he is a woman, trailblazer again, who took an opportunity and ran, she did phenomenal for what she was given. And even when she was thrown under the bus, she still kept getting up. I'll give her that.
All right. Well, Beate, we'll leave it there. More at thewomenscode.com. Thank you so much for joining us here today. Appreciate this.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. There you go. That's Beate Shalette, author of Happy Woman, Happy World, founder of The Women's Code, thewomenscode.com.
We're going to take some phone calls after this commercial break. 974-8255 if you want to be part of the show. What do you think of what Beate had to say? This is Kincaid and Breckenridge on News Talk 770.
Those fingers in my hair, that sly come hither stare, that strips my conscience bare, it's witchcraft.
Witchcraft.
It's a great song.
Well, it is.
It's Patrick's being
apropos of nothing
here. It's just the next song on the list, I guess.
Total fluke, right, Patrick?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, didn't mean it? Yeah, okay.
All right, 974-8255. It was an interesting response. I thought she might equivocate a little bit on the question of whether women have an obligation to vote for Hillary, but she just dove right in and said, absolutely, 100%.
I didn't appreciate that same comment when it was, do black people have to vote for Barack Obama?
Well, obviously, I think it was over 90% did.
Right, but did they have to? I mean, I don't think that...
But I think a lot did who maybe otherwise wouldn't have voted for the Democrats.
Wouldn't have voted for Hillary?
Right.
Right, because it would have been Hillary.
Because I think in that sense, is what she said is true, that it's a historic opportunity. When's the next time you're going to have an African-American as a presidential nominee with a realistic shot of becoming president? Because if Obama had lost, when would the next one come along? I understand. What's that senator's name? Tim Scott from South Carolina. But the Ben Carson train kind of derailed a while ago.
Well, let's go to the phones on this matter, because Beate Shillett said a lot. And one of the most profound things I think she said was that the women, you got to support the trailblazer, got to go support the woman. There's almost this obligation to do so. Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree. Dylan, how you doing?
Howdy, not too bad. Yourself?
Yeah, good. What do you think?
Oh, I have a real issue when she says, if you're a woman, you got to vote for a woman. To me, doesn't that take the politics out of politics? What's the point? You have to vote for the candidate you agree with, and you have to vote for the position that you think the country should go towards?
Well, that's what I thought was peculiar when, we talked about Sarah Palin afterwards, and the answer wasn't, oh, yeah, it was the exact same thing. It, had a bit more, she gave Sarah Palin credit for being a trailblazer, but then said, oh, she misspoke. So there are ways that a candidate can disqualify themselves to women, and I don't understand why the same can't be true of Hillary.
Exactly. It bothers me a lot, because maybe I'm tired. I'm a 21-year-old man, and I see on feminist websites all the time of mansplaining and everything's unfair towards women. To me, it's not that case. To me, you have to put in the effort. A lot of men in politics put in the effort. I'm sure you two guys put a lot of effort, and I'm sure Danielle Smith put a lot of effort into getting to where she is.
Yeah, I didn't vote for Danielle because she's a woman, and I had to support the man.
I personally, if I had the chance to vote for Danielle Smith, I would have, because I agreed with her policies.
Yeah, I hear you, brother. Hey, how old did you say you are?
I'm 21.
Thanks for listening to our show. Really appreciate it.
I love the show. This is my first time calling in. I try every now and then, but I work for a living.
It's your first time calling in, eh?
Yep.
Oh, cool, man. We appreciate that. That's awesome.
I really like the show. Thank you very much.
Cool. And keep working for a living, man. Appreciate that. Awesome. Good stuff.
Well, I like that. We should just wrap up the show.
Yeah, can we end there? Can we just play Witchcraft? Can we just play Frank Sinatra for the rest? We better go on. No, another phone call.
That's a no. All right. Bo, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hey, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I think that lady was like a feminist on steroids or something. That was weird. I think you should always evaluate a politician based on their track record, resume, character, irregardless of the color of their skin or their gender. I just can't even believe that you'd vote for Hillary just because she's a woman. All you wonderful people out there who want to do some research on Hillary Clinton, they say the Clintons are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. The MENA Arkansas scandal where people were dropping dead like flies around those people. I could not fathom someone voting for Clinton. I mean, it's been a revolving door, it seems, between Bush and Clinton's. Let's get some fresh air in the White House. And Hillary Clinton, to me, is such the epitome of a fake face and a politician. Benghazi scandal.
Yeah, see, now you're talking about it. See, these are reasons why I think women should say, look, I would love to support a woman, but just not one who's using your personal emails or who's in this Benghazi scandal, right?
Let's get beyond gender. Let's get beyond color or skin or anything like that, And let's just, on the real substance of the person.
It's a good call, Bo. Thanks very much for phoning in.
Yeah, it should be, right? And to me, it would be, right? We don't have the same kind of opportunity in Canada where, we as a nation are electing our leader. And that's a little different. But, maybe to a lot of people it was important to vote for Stephen Harper because he was not a man necessarily, but because he's from Alberta. The Alberta card. So, I mean, different things are going to matter to different people. And, I think ideally you should look at where a candidate stands on issues that matter and vote accordingly, not and not pay any attention to gender or ethnicity or, you know, where they're from or anything like that. But I, again, to some people, it is going to matter, and that's their decision. It's a democracy. If you want to go in and just randomly pick somebody to vote for, that's your free choice in a democratic society.
I don't think Beate was a crazy feminist or whatever words Bo used to describe her there. I mean, she was talking about parity. And I think that the justification she gave for why women should vote for Hillary, that's what rings foul for me. I mean, I think women should vote for whoever they think the best choice is. It's their franchise. I don't think that you should ever vote as part of a movement. And I would argue that those if 90% of African-American voters picked Barack Obama, it's not just because he was the black president or because they wanted to do something historic. I think a lot of them probably saw his policies as being quite meaningful and good for the country. Marie, thanks for the phone call.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I feel very strongly people need to vote for a candidate based on their policies, their track record, and their qualifications, not their gender or race or sexual orientation. All of that is irrelevant.
Is it irrelevant or just of minimal importance?
Correct. Yes, correct. Of minimal importance. You know, if we're looking at gender equality, we should be hiring people based on their qualifications, not their gender. For example, Stephen Harper, when he hired 50% of his cabinet because they were female, I'm a working woman, but still I would prefer to see the best person in that job. And if the best person is a female, great. But if the best person is a male, then so be it. And I think that that is what gender equality means, is the best person being hired for the job.
Yeah, thanks for good phone call, Marie. Thanks very much. I think that the kind of dog and pony show that was Justin Trudeau appointing the half female, half male cabinet was that gender equality wasn't reflected in the bureaucracy that these ministers oversaw, which was the issue. I mean, really the ultimate issue. So we basically had like 50% female, 50% male as a showpiece for something that wasn't changing.
Let's squeeze in one more here. Let's get to Terry's phone call. Hi there, Terry.
Hi there. I do absolutely agree with gender equality, best person for the job. However, without a lot of women in positions of power, it's really hard to say, okay, well, you know, based on her qualifications, she's the best choice. Without the opportunity to be able to have a voice, then it is much harder to be able to be comparative. Now, when you take a look at Hillary versus, well, I don't know, let's say Donald Trump, not only should we women maybe think about voting for her because she's a woman, but over and above qualified over Donald Trump easily, just on qualifications too. But we need to get women having voices in order for them to have something to compare towards the records of men.
Okay, fair enough. Terry, appreciate the phone call. You know, and I mean, it was interesting in Alberta, of course, in 2012, where the issue was kind of diffused because we had a female party leader on one side and another female party leader on the other side.
Yeah, we had no choice in the matter. I do remember that. It was a good election. It didn't turn out how I wanted it to, but that's another story.
Such is life. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Everyone's saying, when are you guys going to talk about catch-up? Well, in just a few minutes. So stick around. Kincaid and Breckenridge on News Talk 770.